From Clovis to Kingsburg, from Fresno to Bakersfield, and everything in between, we've got you covered. This is the Central Valley Sports Report, your number one source for high school highlights, riveting talk, and hometown heroes. And here is your host, Paul Metters.
Good morning and happy Saturday to everybody out there listening. This is the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN, and I am your host, Paul Metters. Live here at First String Sports on Blackstone Avenue in between Herndon and Sierra. This is where I do my show every week. Wouldn't want to do it anywhere else. Off to the right-hand side, Letterman's Jacket Room. They got that cool neon sign that you can't miss when you walk into the store advertising the Letterman's Jackets. This is the only place in the Central Valley where you can get yours custom made. Pick out which style you want. There's a couple different styles you can go with. I actually see some sweaters. There's sweaters you can get, the old time 50s and 60s sweaters. Could hook you up with that. Never fails. In fact, I'm looking at it right now across the counter. Never fails. There's always somebody in here getting their Letterman's Jackets taken care of. Get their patches arranged however they want. Bible verses. Yeah, they are here for you. And, of course, all the sports equipment, hats as well. They are incredible sponsors of our student athletes here in the Central Valley. Big thanks to them. This is 2 hours of pure high school sports talk. A little bit about Fresno State. There's a football game tonight. I'm going. I'll mention that a little bit. But high school football week 4 has just finished. Lots of fun stuff to talk about. Got a great show lined up for you guys. I'll get to that in just a second. If you missed any part of the show or any part of the other shows here on 1430 ESPN, go to 1430ESPNFresno.com. Boom, right there. There's a website under podcast. Go back and listen to past episodes. Behind the Bench, Phil Bonatti's show. Phil and I and Pat Hill broadcasted Bakersfield and Bullard last night. Go back and listen to Phil's show. He does a phenomenal job covering all the local stuff. To do a really good segment, it's one of the things I look for on Fridays, is the segment on NFL picks. They have a lot of fun. Got the NFL Films music in the background. Good content, good stuff. Bulldog Hour, Tony D, the trusted voice of Tony D. Go back and listen to his shows as well. You can listen live on the website, and there is apps. Just go to your app store, type in 1430 ESPN Fresno. Boom, there it is. The 790 app. I have a show on Wednesday nights, the Sunbird Sports Show. You can listen live on the 790 app as well. Also want to thank a couple more sponsors, Clovis Stone Masonry and Landscape Supply. They sponsor the show specifically. They are located on Sunnyside, just south of Herndon. And we have a new sponsor. I need to do a better job of advertising our 1430 ESPN Student Athlete of the Week. And Raw Farms has partnered alongside of us with that incredible, incredible program that we have honoring a student athlete every week. Last year was absolutely phenomenal, especially with the banquet that we had. If you haven't heard, we invited every one of the Student Athletes of the Week to a huge banquet. They were all honored. They got to bring their family member. Everything was paid for. We gave everybody some more scholarship money, a male student athlete of the week, athlete of the year, and a female. We're giving iPads and a bigger scholarship. So it's a huge deal. If you want your student athlete nominated, hey, you could be a parent and do it. Yes, we allow that. Parents are involved, grandparent, coach, administrator, teacher. Just go to 1430ESPNFresno.com. Student athlete of the week nomination is right there. And we read all of those. We do. We read all the nominations, and we'll go to Max Preps. We'll look at some stats. We'll text coaches. We'll check out the GPA as well. It is a really cool deal. So thanks to Raw Farms for sponsoring that. And go ahead and check that out. I'm not kidding. That's a really, really cool deal. All right. So let's get into some high school stuff. After the break, I'll go over all the scores. As a huge follower of all the scores, right, checking Max Preps out, checking out Twitter last night. There were three schools that scored over 70 points last night. 70. The big one, Madera High School. I had to double check with Coach Palinelli on this one. Rivalry game, I suppose, against Madera South. don't know how much of a rivalry it was. They put up 84 points. 84 points against Madera South. 84-13 was the final. Unbelievable. Of course, there's a running clock in the fourth quarter, too. That is a load of points. Hanford scored 74 points in their win, and McLean scored 70 points in their win over Santa Maria. So points aplenty last night. Pretty incredible stuff. So last night, I did mention that we broadcasted Bakersfield Drillers, the historic program, came into the year. All-time winningest school in California history as far as wins. 823 wins coming in against Bullard Knights. Game was at McLean. First of all, beautiful weather. Gosh, what a great week of weather. I think it was 83 degrees was the high. And, right, a couple interesting notes going into that game. Bullard with a 2-1 record, lost in week one to Clovis East. Bakersfield, 3-0 on the field. However, we found out early Friday morning that they had to forfeit a game against Buchanan. That week one win, I was checking Max Preps Friday morning, looking at Buchanan's record, and it said 4-0. They won their game on Thursday night. They beat Liberty Bakersfield. We'll get into that in just a second, too. And it said win, right? They lost 28-13, but it said W, and it said 4-0. Like, what the heck is going on? So I poked around a little bit, found out some information, and the Bakersfield newspaper confirmed it last night that there is an ineligible player that was used in that game, and they had a forfeit. So Buchanan gets a win. Bakersfield gets a loss, so that's big, right? That's big with the playoff seedings. What is that going to look like down the line? But Bakersfield, good football team. Rashawn Sheehy, good coach, brought back this toughness to the program. Bullard, you know, the quick strike type offense. Everything's out of the shotgun. Decent running game, couple really good wide receivers. Tyler Franklin, the quarterback, really good arm. And, you know, Bullard hung tough. They were down 16-14 at half, had an 80-yard touchdown pass on their first possession on 3rd and 5. And the physicality of Bakersfield is just too much. They got a dude at running back, number 84. That's not your typical running back number, is it? 84. He's only a sophomore. Demir Lomax. He had 3 touchdowns, 170-something yards on the ground. He was tough to take down. Good vision. Straight-ahead guy. Didn't dance around. Hit the hole. Yeah, really good player. So Bakersfield, good team. Impressed with them. Defensively, they could do some things. Number 3 is a really good player for them. When we break down the games after this segment, Tamir, who's producing the show, was at the game with us doing some stats. So we'll get his perspective on that game. I know Coach Hill was impressed. He's like, man, I remember Bakersfield Drillers back in the day. Those are some tough suckers. Big dudes. The line, and Coach Hill admitted this, the line didn't look like it has in the last few years. But, yeah, good ball club. Good ball club. All right, so I mentioned after the break, we'll have a full breakdown of last night's games. Lots of good, interesting matchups. All right, one more week. A lot of schools have their bye week the following week before league starts. And, then we're officially halfway through the year in a couple weeks. Pretty crazy stuff. After that, I got Ross Wood around 10:42 or so. Ross is coming on the show, head coach at Buchanan, the 4-0 Bears. We'll talk about his team receiving that win, forfeit. So undefeated Buchanan Bears. Always good to catch up with Coach Wood. This is his fourth year at the helm. They had that huge 31-13 win over Liberty Bakersfield at Veterans Memorial Stadium on Thursday. It was a game that I saw the first three quarters of. Just a ball-controlled offense. Nothing fancy. Defense is solid. Obviously we'll talk more about the Bears, how they look, but gosh, what in the world's going on at Liberty Bakersfield? 0-4 on the season. And I'm just keeping it real. They did not look like any resemblance of a Liberty football team over the last 10 years. Man, it's tough sledding. And looking at their schedule, I don't know if I could find three wins on the rest of Liberty's schedule. I had them preseason ranked like 6th or 7th. I mean, what the heck did I know? I didn't know they'd be 0-4 at this point. But good win for Buchanan. And, yeah, let's see how the rest of the season goes for Liberty of Bakersfield. At the top of hour number two, Eric Brown, the head coach at Clovis West, is coming on the show. Always love catching up with EB, one of the great guys in the Central Section. He's an alum of the school. Obviously, you know of his family pedigree. His late father, Dan, was an assistant coach with Pat Hill for many years at Fresno State. Just football guys through and through. They won their game last night, 31-13 over Edison of Fresno. They are 3-1 on the season. Really looking forward to catching up with EB. Gabe Camarillo is going to jump on. I believe he was at 2 Clovis games last night. We'll have to double check on that. But the Clovis game at La Monica against Los Gatos ended up in a 1-point win for the Cougars. That game was a little bit tighter than a lot of people anticipated. And, so we'll talk to Gabe about that game and other things that are going on in the Central Section. A few news and notes before we hit the break, and I give a recap of last night's and Thursday night's scores. Adrian Martinez, former Clovis West quarterback, former Nebraska Husker, record-setting Kansas State, UFL MVP, was released by the Jets. Suited up for one game last year. He's been on the show a few times. Released by the Jets, the 49ers picked him up, flew him across country. He was able to practice on the day that he was let go. Pretty crazy stuff. And if you follow the NFL at all, which I'm sure you do, especially the 49ers, well, Brock Purdy is not starting. He might not start for a while. 2 to 5 weeks is the estimation. Sign Adrian to the practice squad. Mac Jones is going to start, but so that elevates Adrian. So Adrian's going to be listed as the number 2 quarterback tomorrow for the game at New Orleans. So there's a chance that Adrian Martinez could get his first NFL snaps if something goes wrong with Mac Jones. So keep an eye on that, man. I am for sure. And speaking of Liberty, speaking of Central Section quarterbacks, Jordan Love tore it up Thursday Night Football. And that format, I still can't get used to it on Amazon Prime. I don't know. It's just weird, right? It takes like 5 minutes for that stuff to load. But Jordan Love looked really good. Really good against the Commanders in that win. 292 yards, a couple tutties. I can't believe I just said tutties. What is wrong with me? Touchdowns. All right, let's keep it real. And then Josh Allen, right? What else can you say about Josh Allen? Just an absolute dude. 394 yards in that win against the Ravens. One of the better regular season NFL games that I've seen in a long time. Mentioned Fresno State tonight. That's going to be an awesome time. The Human Jukebox, that is the name of their band. It is a national-level band, 280 members strong. Come for the Fresno State football game. Come for the whooping that I think the Bulldogs are going to put on tonight. But, man, don't leave your seat for the halftime show. It is going to be an absolute event. An event. I'm going to be there. Family's going to be there. My daughter, who's in marching band in college, is going to be there. Super stoked about that. So, Fresno State football tonight, Southern. There's no spread in that game. I think that should tell you a little bit about how the football game is going to go. But we're hoping for a Bulldog win and seeing a good show on the field. All right, let's take a break here. I'll come back. I'll run down some of those scores. Tanvir is going to come on and help me break down the Bakersfield and Boulder game. You're listening to it all on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN.
Carry on my wayward son. There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
All right. One of my favorite songs of all time. Kansas. Carry on my wayward son. Good stuff there. Time to get into some scores. There were, 5 games played on Thursday night, September 11th, and then 51 games last night. Let's get to Thursday games. So I mentioned the big Buchanan win over Liberty, 31-13. After this segment, we'll bring in Ross Wood to talk about his Buchanan Bears, the 4-0 Buchanan Bears. Kalinga, they put it on Sierra Pacific 62-22. McFarland 25, Del Oro 21. McFarland's got a good team this year. And Menachie with a 33-27 win over West. And then this one surprised me a little bit. It didn't shock me, but Washington Union beat Garza 29-25. Garza was 3-0. Washington Union with some good wins early in the season. Keep an eye on those Panthers. It seems like every 3 or 4 years, you really don't hear about them too much, and all of a sudden they're winning football games. They got a dude, you know, this kid's got a D1 offer. And, good win for the Panthers over Garza. All right, so last night's scores, we'll go over these, and I'll interject some info if I have some good content to give you guys when I get to the Bullard and Bakersfield score. Tanvir is going to jump on. We're going to be talking about that one. So Northwest Sequoia, that's the big league in the central section, right? They start early. They started league play. So Carruthers beat Riverdale 17-6. Why is that significant? Well, Carruthers, one of the jewels in the central section, athletic program, they had lost 13 plus 1, because they would have lost their playoff game the year before. They went 0-10 last year, 0-3 this year. So that's their first win in about a year and a half. Coach Brandon Ward's he's a great guy. Great guy. Going through some losses there was not easy last year. So congrats to Carruthers on beating Riverdale and getting that win this year. Chowchilla defeated Parlier 46-7. And Minaret's good team again. 35, Fowler 7. They lost. They got upset. They were the top seed last year in the playoffs and got upset. So, yeah, Minaret's got another strong team. Arvin defeated Taft 40-29. Atascadero over south of Bakersfield 34-18. And here's our score. All right, time to bring in Tanvir. Bakersfield 32, Bullard 14. Tanvir was with us on the broadcast last night with Coach Hill, Phil Benatti. He was next to us feeding us some really good stats and info. Hung out with us on our post-game show as well. So, Tanvir, what are your overall thoughts? Maybe you had some expectations going to that game. You know, in the pregame, I talked about Bakersfield's run game versus Bullard's passing attack. Like, what were some of your takeaways from that game last night?
Yeah, so when I was listening to you on Phil's show, I was just kind of trying to get a sense of what the game would be looking like. And honestly, I did think that this would be the closest game that we've been to so far. I would imagine, I mean, with the Clovis West game, Central, and, the Clovis High game that we went to, I thought this was going to be the closest game, and it actually did turn out that way. I thought from both teams' perspectives, I was thinking, I was looking for a little bit more out of Bullard in terms of what you said, either a running game the passing game. In terms of Bullard, I thought they looked like they were gonna go away and get away with a flying start with that 80-yard touchdown that first half, and Tyler Franklin, but they never really seemed to test those cornerbacks in terms of the latter parts of that game. And Bakersfield's D line started to get to that quarterback in that second drive and really snuffed it out early. They also, in terms of Bullard's rushing game, it wasn't all that effective. They didn't really get that much on the ground. Yes, they did get that touchdown off of that fumble, but they averaged less than 3 yards per carry, which needs to improve a little bit. It was a little bit of a middle of the road performance, in my opinion, for Bullard. And this game kind of continued this trend throughout the games that we've been to, where, you know, the team that's leading at the end of the first half, they kind of just keep their foot on the gas, and the team that's behind can't really catch the momentum. And that's really what I felt out of this Bullard team. You know, they kept that game close. They had the lead in that second quarter, but giving up that touchdown late in the second quarter really, scrambled what they were trying to do towards the second half, and they really didn't get any momentum off of that. On Bakersfield side of things, you know, their first drive really established what their game plan was going to be, and that is, early and often, let's get the ground game going. There was a bunch of great runs from Demir Lomax, as you said. They gashed Bakersfield. And speaking of Lomax, like the vision that he had, was so, so good. Able to bounce it outside when necessary, even if it was not necessarily a designed outside of the tackles run. So that was great. And him being a sophomore, you said, right?
Yeah.
That is very, very impressive. And I understand what they were trying to do after that. They try to balance that pass attack and insert some creative runs in that second quarter, which did lead to two turnovers. And it felt a little weird to me, especially with the pure success that they were having. But I do understand, right? Like, balance is key. They had two running backs and an offensive line that was just physically dominating the Bullard front seven. So I thought they would just lean on that even more early on. But they tried to keep that balance, and then they reverted back to what worked for them in that first half, the first quarter, which is just running the ball. And that's really what they leaned on for the rest of the game. And it was a Bakersfield win right off of that. So I think it was pretty straightforward after the halftime break. And I think Bakersfield really impressed me with their running game, not necessarily just their running back, but also their offensive line. I really think that they were displacing people at a very good scale.
Yeah, 100%. Great. Yeah, great assessment. And what Coach Hill saw during the game, and, you know, is how Bakersfield finished every play. Those runs, and a couple other kids got carries too, and, you know, Lomax was a very impressive player, but felt like they didn't skip a beat, really, with giving the ball to a couple other guys. But finishing the runs was big. They kept their legs churning. They went all the way to the whistle. So that was impressive as well. And, I think Bakersfield's going to be a formidable foe the rest of the way. They do have a big game against Bakersfield Christian. That's going to be an interesting one to keep track of in a few weeks. I think, October 17th, if I'm not wrong on that one. But, I think getting some eyes on Bakersfield was a good thing. And, yeah, I think they're going to be a tough team to beat.
Yeah, for sure. And the only, I guess, not really even a negative, but just a caveat to this game. Like, I think in cases where this team is going to face good front sevens, it may be susceptible, because in terms of the passing game, I didn't really see that much, but they didn't necessarily need that at all in this game, right?
Yeah.
Like, they had two running backs, both of which were playing very well. Jale Wells was also really good on the ground. He had 6 carries for 40 rush yards and a rush TD. Lomax had 24 carries, 172 yards, 3 rush TDs. Like, that is an impressive stat line if I've ever seen one. So very impressive performance on the ground for Bakersfield.
I agree. All right, good stuff. Thanks, Xavier.
Yep.
Centennial defeated Chavez 28-0, and Clovis North improves to 3-0 on the season, went down to Bakersfield, defeated the Cavaliers 53-14. Few things about that game. First of all, Clovis North putting up a lot of points. Colby Hunter taking over that program, averaging well over 40 points through their first 3 games. Central Valley Christian falls to 0-4. Gosh, that schedule that they put together. I was playing Clovis High, Clovis North, right? That's tough sledding, and they're having some quarterback issues there. Their line is playing okay, but gosh, they're playing the big boys, and it's showing right now. Obviously, they don't play in as strong as a league as these top teams that they're playing, but yeah, 0-4 to start the year. Clovis West, we're going to be talking with Coach Eric Brown with the 31-12 win over Edison of Fresno, their third Edison team that they've played this season. Delano defeated Foothill 50-29. Dinuba, back-to-back wins for the Emperors, 45-10 over Selma. Exeter comes back and beats Strathmore 13-12. Farmersville 27, Avenel 14. Golden West 28, North 14. I believe that was 14-7. North was winning that one at halftime. So the Trailblazers come back and win that one. Hanford, I mentioned that, 74 points that they put up over LD. That's a shutout. So Cannon Sanchez and his group get in another win. We're going to be broadcasting, might as well say it right now, we're going to be broadcasting Hanford at Redwood, the Mineral King Bowl, next week. First time there in Visalia for us to broadcast a game. That's going to be a fun game. Points aplenty. Phil Bonatti's going to have his work cut out for him, celebrating and announcing all those touchdowns are going to be scored in that one. Looking forward to that. Emmanuel defeated Orosi 30 7-7. Independence of Bakersfield, they are now 4-0 over Stockdale. Oh, tough sledding for Stockdale, 41-0. Kennedy, 51. Pioneer Valley, 6. Kingsburg gets back on track after losing to Dinuba last week over Highland, 21-7. That game was on the road. And then that Madera score. Unbelievable. I had to double check on this one. Madera 84, Madera South 13. It's a little bit of everything in that one. Scoring on the ground, scoring through the air, scoring on special teams. God, 84 points. That is a lot of points. I gotta get the box score on that one. McLean, back-to-back, right here on the high school ratings. Back-to-back over 70 points. 70-3 over Santa Maria. Gosh, Andrew Pancotti, one of my favorites. We'll get him on the show soon. Head coach at McLean. I would like to see them schedule a little bit up this year. I said that last week, but I think everyone listening is shaking their heads. Yes, I would like to see McLean with some tougher games in the first three. Mendota over Orange Cove, 55-19. Skip down here. Redwood with a nice win over Tulare Weston, 35-12. Ridgeview over Golden Valley, 38-19. Roosevelt. Sleeper team, 46, Fireball 6. They got a good quarterback. He's a senior, dual threat kid. I've seen some highlights of him. Good player. Sanger gets back in the win column over Lemoore, 33-26. And Shafter defeated Dos Palos at home, 49-13. So Dos Palos, a Division IV team. I remember when Shafter won the D4 title when the now senior class were freshmen. They have two studs on their team. Zeke Osborne, the quarterback, and Marion Sloan, the running back, who's a little banged up this year, was at full strength last night. Trevor Horn, go back to my Twitter account if you want, my X account. I retweeted Trevor Horn was at that game. Zeke Osborne became the all-time leader in touchdown passes in Kern Valley, threw his 101st, and was to Marion Sloan. Who had 200 yards rushing, 100 yards receiving. That kid's a dude. It's Boise State running backs coach was in the house, headed to Boise State. So keep an eye on Shafter. We'll get Coach Perucci on the show here coming up as well. Shafter, 49, big win against Dos Palos. Intersectional games, Clovis. We'll be talking with Gabe about that game. They had to hold on, man. That game was a back and forth. Defeated Los Gatos 41-40. Cougars giving up a lot of points again. Is that a concern for Clovis? It might be. It might be. So they got Bullard on Thursday before a bye week, and then track play begins for the Cougars. Grant, one of the best games against Clovis East in the state last night. Clovis East had a 15-7 lead entering the fourth quarter. Grant comes back with a touchdown, a short throw on the outside to a, looked like a guy was in motion where a running back came out of the backfield with 10 seconds left. So Clovis East had a chance to upset Grant at home. Yes, that same Grant team that beat Central 44-20. So Clovis East goes up there and almost takes out Grant. Man, gosh, if they would have pulled that one off, that would have been great. Liberty of Madera defeated Los Banos 42-33. St. Joseph, I mentioned them last week. Keep an eye on those guys. Shut out Eastlake 42-0. Templeton over Gonzales 35-0. And yep, that about does it for the score. Oh, one more. Yosemite of Oakhurst defeated Gustine 34-14. All right, there's a little bit of a recap. Some content for last night's games and some Thursday games as well. We'll take a break, and we're going to call up Ross Wood, the head coach at Buchanan. They are now 4-0 on the season after defeating Liberty of Bakersfield on Thursday. Can't wait to talk to Ross about that win and about his Buchanan Bears. You're listening to it all on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. Welcome back to the Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN. Like I mentioned in my opener, if you miss any part of the show, you could go to 1430ESPNFresno.com. Boom, go to podcast. They're all right there. I think they cut out the commercials too after the show's wrapped up, right? Nice, tidy format. Yeah, sometimes I do that every once in a while. Tweet that out. Go ahead and listen to back episodes. I got to mention a couple football games that are today. There's some Saturday football games. Garces and Memorial are playing, and Holy Bowl. It's a big deal. I think they stopped playing during COVID. They missed a couple games during that time. But, yeah, they're playing today at 7 o'clock. Kerman's playing Hanford West at 7:30. And, yeah, Lompoc is playing at Cabrillo. And one more. I mentioned these guys last year. Just a great story. If you guys got time, Google this. So Trona in the desert area, they're playing Laguna Blanca today in Santa Barbara at 1 o'clock. They are the only school. I think there's two, actually. There's one in Hawaii in the United States that plays on a dirt field. They cannot grow grass in the desert. They play football on a dirt field, does Trona. Yes, and they are in our central section. They are the Tornadoes as well. Fun stuff there. All right, time to bring on Ross Wood, who's been patient, waiting on air right now. His Buchanan Bears are now 4-0. We're going to talk about the reason for that in a second. Great win against Liberty of Bakersfield on Thursday, September 11th. They had a helicopter flyover. It was a really, really good football game for the Bears. So, Ross, always great to catch up with you. How you doing this morning?
I'm doing well. Doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. So, Saturday mornings, especially with a game on a Thursday, what does that look for you guys? You guys getting together, watching some film, doing a light lift? You got the coaching staff together. What do you guys do on this Saturday morning?
You know, fortunately, we were Friday off leading into a bye week, so we got all that stuff done Friday. So give the boys 2 days off to rest, recover, and hit it Monday morning and get things rocking and rolling for our bye week.
Are you you taking this Saturday to chill, watch some college football, maybe hang out with the family a little bit? What's it like for you?
Yeah, it's a great opportunity to spend time with the family. I mean, you know, during season, you're putting in 12 to 16-hour days at minimum, and, you know, being able to have a full weekend with the family is important.
Absolutely. Did you check out a game? Were you scouting last night, or did you take that some time off last night too?
No, I shut it all down. Got to spend time with the family, hit the road, head out of town for a couple days, and shut it all down. It's been good.
All right. That's awesome. All right, so let's talk some football here. Leading up to the game against Liberty, I think you guys have been playing them for a while, if I'm not mistaken. Leading up to the game, like, what did you guys see on film? What were some of the concepts that you guys were trying to perform on the field, or maybe some things you're trying to exploit against Liberty of Bakersfield?
Yeah, they're a big team. You know, they have numbers, they have size, they got strength and speed. You know, they're a good football team. You know, we just saw some things on film that we could, you know, try to exploit. So we try to get after them early, be physical. You know, really the biggest thing when you're playing Liberty is it's going to be a brawl till the end, regardless of the circumstances that you're in. So, you know, we want to come out hot and be physical from play one. And, you know, I thought our boys did a really good job of accepting that challenge and getting out there and doing it. So it was good. It was a good event for us.
Yeah, it was a really good win. All right, so just walk us through the game, or maybe give us some of the key plays in the game where you thought that it really, really turned in your favor.
Yeah, I think, well, the whole first half was just a big advantage for us. Our defense did a great job. I mean, they didn't give up a first down that whole first half, so – you know, being able to get them on and off the field and their excitement level, you know, they play like that. The sidelines gets excited, and then the offense gets to go out there with some confidence, and, you know, nobody's stressing about what's next. So I think our defense did a heck of a job playing that game. And then offense started clicking. It was great to see, you know, sophomore quarterback is going to take him some time to get comfortable in there. And he got comfortable early and dealt the ball out and made some great decisions. And, you know, we got a lot of things to learn from still from that game, but, you know, I was very happy with how we progressed so far through week four.
And a little bit of balance goes a long way, right? So you mentioned your quarterback, Devaney, and you got a couple, was it two rushing touchdowns from your running back?
Yes, Gannon Sever, two rushing touchdowns. Yeah. Did a great job, yeah.
So how's your running game been compared to the passing game this year? Like a balanced attack, is that kind of what you figured was going to be your MO this season?
Well, we're always trying to go 50-50. I mean, keeping the defense guessing is kind of the biggest thing when you're running an offense. So, you know, trying to be 50% run, 50% pass is huge. You know, thankfully we got a quarterback in there that can throw the ball very well. And, you know, we got receivers that can move the ball down the field. And so it's we're in a good spot right now. We're just trying to maintain our balance and build on our confidence and keep moving this thing forward in the right direction.
All right, so let's talk about your quarterback. So sophomore, I got to watch him play baseball last year on the baseball team as a freshman. Watched him in practice this year early before the season started. And from everything that I've gathered, everything that I've seen with my own eyeballs and talked to other people and coaches about, like, that dude doesn't miss a beat. Like, he is advanced as far as, you know, what he brings to the table with the leadership and with confidence. And it's kind of a rare thing with a sophomore. So what do you like in your quarterback this year, and what has he brought to the table?
Yeah, no, Tommy's been great for us. I think his confidence is great. His ability to lead players. I mean, he's not afraid to pull a senior out of the huddle if he doesn't like how that attitude's in the huddle. So, you know, it's not very many sophomores that'll step up and do something like that, which is great. You know, he's still a young pup, though, so he's a little innocent on certain situations and unaware of things and how things develop. So it's fun. It's a real fun dynamic. He's a puppy, you know, and he's also a dog at the same time. It's a great combination to have right now. And, you know, it's just awesome to being able to shape and, you know, mold him into the quarterback that we want to. So having him as a sophomore is big and not just getting him as a senior. So, you know, he's going to be good for us over the next 3 years. And, you know, we told him at the beginning of this season, this is the worst football you're going to play. You know, this is going to be your worst year yet because you're going to continue to grow and develop. And that's the mentality he has. So it's great to have him. He has a great mentality. He's always wanting to learn and do better. And he's always focused in and, you know, he listens. He's got big eyes at times, but, you know, that's all part of the learning experience. So it's good.
And your running back, you mentioned Seaver. He's only a junior as well, and Wafer is a junior. That kid can scoot. So what do you like about those skill guys and what they can bring to the table?
Yeah, they're a great 1-2 dynamic for us in the backfield. You know, being able to get Carvell out in space, him with the ball in space is something special to have. So it's been really good to get him out in space and be able to deal the ball out to him. And, you know, obviously having a stout running back and get downhill and get vertical is great. So Gannon's been doing a good job, and, you know, that's our goal, is to continue to try to put defense in binds and which one are you going to try to guard. And, you know, if you guard both, then we'll take our one-on-one matchups and move on from there. So it's a great, great position to be in right now. And, you know, having those guys being able to come back next year too just helps build the program.
Yeah, absolutely. We're talking to Ross Ware, the head coach of Buchanan. I mean, looking at your skill guys, you mentioned quarterback is a sophomore. Your running backs, guys in the backfield, are juniors. You know a few things about offensive lines as well. Just talk about your lines and how that's going this year, because, you know, teams can only go so far sometimes as good as their offensive lines. You can't protect your quarterback. You can't open up holes. You're going to put yourself at a disadvantage. What do you like about your line this year?
Yeah, they're doing well. They're working the tail off. You know, they don't complain very much, which is great. You know, they have to do all the work and don't get a whole lot of the glory, but they're doing a great job working together, communicating. We're rotating guys in and out, making sure that we have the best fresh five that are in. So, and that's not an easy thing to do on the offensive side of the ball, that communication and that consistency of playing with the guy next to you. It goes a long way. So they're doing great. They know their role. They know that the success of this team comes from them. So they take some pride in that. And, you know, they're not afraid of work. And that's kind of the biggest thing here, is making sure these kids understand that the commitment that they need to be successful is through the work. It's not through Friday night. It's Monday through Thursday. So they're doing a good job. They're doing a good job.
And speaking of a guy that put in a lot of work, I got to ask you about Braden Walton and what you're seeing at Fresno State and how you watched him progress at Buchanan. My gosh, I'll be honest. Like, I had heard about him, and then all of a sudden his senior year, He's like 6 foot six, 6 foot seven, and 300-something pounds. Just talk about him and his progression and what you saw in high school that turned into be a true freshman starting offensive lineman for Fresno State.
Yeah, Braden's a great kid. I mean, obviously, I wouldn't call him a kid, but he's he grew a full inch after he graduated high school, which is not very common for most people. But he works and he has fun doing it. You know, he's a kid that always has a smile on his face. And, you know, you can lean into him a little bit and coach him hard, and he's still sitting there with a smile on his face because he knows it's going to make him better. So he had that mentality going to Fresno State, and a little different atmosphere being in college, so he got a little different coaching, and he responded well. And, you know, Coach Ince talking to him, you know, obviously Braden just kept continuing to move up the depth chart and kept showing what he can do, and he's earned that spot, and he's doing a great job. I mean, playing Kansas, your first game in Division I football as a true freshman is an easy gig to do, but I thought he did really well. Graded out. For me, I went through his film and graded him out. It looked like he graded out at a B-, gave up a sack, but he's fighting his tail off, and you can tell he's loving it out there and loving the team, loving his teammates. He's doing a good job.
Was there a point when you were coaching him at Buchanan that you just totally flipped? Maybe like, hey, yeah, I think he's got some potential. He's got some size. He's got a good attitude. Maybe he needs to work on this, work on that. Like, can you specify a point where you saw him and you're like, hey, I think this kid could really do some damage at the D1 level? Can you point to a moment?
Well, I think, you know, looking at a player like Braden Walton, when he came in as a freshman, I'm pretty sure he was 6'2". So when you got a kid that size, you're always looking for what's next for this kid. How can you continue to groom him and mold him and get him to whatever his future might be? And, you know, thankfully we got on him as a freshman with his hip mobility and getting him to bend, because that was always a tough thing for him. So we worked on that, and then we worked on some of his foot strike stuff. You know, carrying that weight around at that young of age is an easy thing on your feet. So we just continued to work with him and tried to push him in the off seasons to get stronger, not so much bigger, but stronger, and the weight would come on. And then his hip mobility, you know, getting him to be able to move his feet and sink his hips. And then once junior year came around and we could see how much he can lean on someone and how much pressure that puts on another defender, you know, the arm length, that's a long way to run around as a defensive end. So we knew pretty early that he was going to be something big for us. And he had a bright future, and, you know, just try to continue to develop that starting this freshman year when he came in.
Yeah, absolutely. And is this year four for you, Coach, as the head coach? How long have you been at Buchanan?
Yeah, this is year four as the head coach, year 12 overall.
So you got to see a couple other guys, and we're going to talk about your team a little bit more in just a second. But man, Cam Brock and Logan Stute, I mean, you got to be beaming with pride when you watch the Bulldogs play, knowing that you got, you know, those three Buchanan kids on their field.
Yeah, it's been great. It's been great for us at Buchanan, you know, being able to send so many kids to Fresno State. You know, last year we had 10 Buchanan players on a roster. You know, that's not very common from one high school. This year, you know, we don't have 10, but we've got quite a few guys that are big contributors, which is awesome to see. You know, it's good to see the Dogs supporting players from the Valley. And it's good, you know, it's good light on us from Buchanan. You know, we're developing players and getting them to that level and supporting the local college, which is good.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, we got another minute and a half with you, Coach. All right, so you got a bye week, and then you got Paso, and then you're going to be heading into track play. Like, coming off, you guys are 4-0, right? Got that forfeit win against Bakersfield. But coming off of that big win against Liberty of Bakersfield, you kind of wish you were playing this next week. Like, sometimes you're like, man, I want to keep this thing rolling. We're playing some good football. Or are you okay with the bye week and then playing Paso?
Yeah, I kind of go back and forth from this year to year. You know, having a bye week before the league is great to get healthy and get things rolling. But, you know, coming off of a bye week and leading into league and with the track that we have, it's a dogfight week to week. So if kids don't come out the gate hot and ready to go off a bye week, you know, you're limping in that first week after a dogfight. So you know, I'm seeing how this week works out. I'm kind of excited about having a bye week and then having a prep game, I would say, before league. You know, kids get to get their feet hot after a bye week and then jump into league and continue that physicality. And they've done a good job these last three games of building on their physicality. So I'm pretty happy about having a break right now, getting back to the basics and fundamentals and getting them right, and then having a what we would call a prep game as we go in the league. Not that Paso's not going to bring us their best shot, but just getting us back on track so we're not shocked when we get in the league from having a week off.
Yep, and that's going to be a home game for you guys. All right, Coach Wood, thanks for joining me today and talking about the Buchanan Bears, and I was happy you got to get away for a few days and spend some time with your family. Good win on Thursday against Liberty as well. Good luck the rest of the way.
I appreciate it.
Absolutely. All right. Ross Wood, head coach of Buchanan. We're going to take a break. We got Eric Brown. Man, we're sticking with the Clovis schools here. Head coach at Clovis West. Coming on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN.
From Clovis to Kingsburg, from Fresno to Bakersfield and everything in between, we've got you covered. This is the Central Valley Sports Report, your number one source for high school highlights, riveting talk, and hometown heroes. And here is your host, Paul Metters.
Welcome to hour number two of the Central Valley Sports Report. 1430 ESPN, your local sports leader, dedicated to high school sports. Love talking about high school sports, man. Good stuff. It's all good stuff, right? There's tons of negative stuff out there in the world, but happy to talk about the football teams, the, you know, volleyball will mix in every once in a while, broadcast games, highlight the kids. Come on, that's what it's about. I got one of my favorite guys on the show right now. It comes on, I don't know, at least once a year. You're on last year a couple times as well. Coach Eric Brown, the head coach at Clovis West High School. He's a Golden Eagle through and through. Saturday mornings, what's life like as a head coach with young daughters on Saturday mornings?
You know,
we're looking at it right now, aren't we?
Oh yeah, for sure. it's a lot of fun. It's chaos. Try to watch last night's game. Try to get a jump on the next opponent while two little girls are jumping on my head, and then to throw in my brother Larry actually had. He didn't have a kid, but his fiance had a kid a couple days ago. So,
oh gosh,
my wife Carrie went to go see him, and so I had the girls by myself and film by myself, and try to throw in a little college football at 9 o'clock. And,
yeah,
you know, it's I actually went away from bringing the kids in this year, so they get treatment on Saturday morning, but we don't get with them. Just the main reason was we had so many away trips in the first five games. We're going to have three trips that are over 2 hours away. So I backed away from the Saturday morning with our kids and kind of focusing on being a good dad and getting a jump the best I can. So.
And soccer this morning when your daughter's got her soccer gear.
Oh, yeah,
you guys, 12 o'clock, Harper's got her big soccer game.
Yeah, big. First matchup, so we'll see. She's going to chase the ball around.
Yeah.
I know that.
Yeah.
She's more of a defensive player. That's how the Browns roll.
That's right.
Yeah.
So. Get a little – sharpen up the elbows a little bit, get the shoulders.
She'll throw it in there. She'll mix it up.
All right.
Best of them.
All right. That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right.
She's excited, though.
You do the tunnels and all that. Oh, it's the first game, though. Is this her first time?
Yeah, it's her first game.
There's tunnels and everything. Coach Hill goes to his grandkids. He talked about last night, his grandkids' soccer stuff, right? I said, Coach, you still do the tunnels? He's like, oh, you got to do the tunnels, man. The kids absolutely love it. So, yeah, that's going to be a big deal
for
you.
I'll be a part of the tunnel. You know that.
You got to do it. All right, so let's talk about last night's game. Let's get into some specifics. So you're playing Edison, your third Edison
game. Yeah, we play
game.
Them all.
We'll play
any Edison, anytime, any place.
Edison from New York, maybe on the schedule from next year.
We'll mix it up.
All right. So going into the game, you guys were 2-1. You lost in week one. You got that really nice win against Liberty in the Edison of Stockton the week before, a game that we had on 1430 ESPN. So you guys are playing some good football. In two game winning streak. Playing a hometown school, and, you know, the kids know each other, right? You got all that stuff
going on, too.
So expectations going into the game, and then how'd you feel you guys executed?
You know, I think it's kind of a tough matchup at times. You know, I think Coach Sears over there is doing a good job, but they've been down for a little bit, Edison, Fresno. So trying to motivate and trying to get our guys going this week was a battle, and they're young kids, you know. So to say that in college football you're going to have a letdown game or a look-ahead game and all that, and we faced it in high school too, and I'm just being honest and real with you, Paul. But I felt it throughout the week that it was going to be a tough one, and a tough one to get our kids motivated and keep our kids grinding and keep our guys focused. And, you know, for the most part, we played about that. You know, we sleptwalk a little bit, you know, throughout the game. But there were some kids that played really, really well and some real standouts in the game. I think we ran the ball really well, which is exciting because now we're stacking two games in a row where I think we had a 100-yard rusher. I haven't got the stats yet in Major Lee. And last week we had a 100-yard rusher. So that's back-to-back weeks, and that hadn't happened in a long time. I will say we're playing really good defense, and our special teams are making some explosive plays. Offensively, we're just, you know, I hate to say it, we're still young. And, you know, our offensive staff is doing a really good job of trying to – get our guys going and trying to get our guys to engage and lock in to exactly what we're asking them to do. But they're young, you know, so I think it steps in the right direction when you're winning games and then coaching your way through the mistakes, you know, instead of losing the game and then trying to, you know, backtrack and go, what did we do wrong? We won. That's the first thing.
Yeah.
the number one stat, we got it.
Yeah.
1-0. So now it's just, can we grow? Can we build? Can we have buy-in and engagement all the way around and have a good week going into Turlock?
So you mentioned young, right? And we knew last year two freshmen were a big part of your team, the maturity, right? You want to see a little bit of maturity from year to year. How have you seen that manifest through the first four games, right? You probably see it in chunks, maybe even play by play, like
for
the maturity
sure.
level, like, hey, guys, if you want to go next level, we got to look at it this way. We got to execute
sure.
this way. Is that how you're approaching it?
It's play by play. It's drive by drive. You know, it's conversations with those kids. J.J. Howard's one of the best players in the Valley, and he's young. You know, and he knows that, and I think somebody put it out in the media that he's the most polished guy in the Valley we've ever seen or something like that, and I talk to him all the time about there is no such thing at 15 years old as being polished. You know, we're growing, and as a team, and he does a great job in that of having a growth mindset, and as a team, we have a growth mindset, and that's where I'm encouraged is, you know, there's not guys in the locker room last night celebrating.
Sure.
It was kind of, it was pretty stoic. And it was guys that wanted the reasons why we struggled and you know, wanted to figure out what we need to do because they know if we play like that, we're not winning in the track. And I'm excited because I think it's there. We're right on the brink, right on the edge of really turning the program completely around.
How do you – coach, you and your staff, how do you approach, like, talent wise my gosh, you see it in practice, you see it on film, right? I mean, we see it, right? Like, there's not a throw that JJ can't make yet. Maybe, I don't know, you might disagree with me, help me out with that. And then RJ can make just about any catch. He could outrun any DB, could run any type of route. Got Major Lee at running. I mean, tons of dudes, right?
Yep.
Like, how do you go from the ability then to be able to execute at a high level when you get even into, you know, some of these games in the track you're talking about, you know, even in that week one, right? I mean, how do you go to next level with such a young group?
In the end, it's iron sharpens iron. So as much as we can do good on good, you know, at times we'll take, you know, most of our kids play both ways. So at times we'll take RJ away from JJ and put him on defense and say, hey, you got a full 7-on-7 where you don't have RJ. And we have really good receivers elsewhere, you know, so find them. And you know, he's done a good job. And that's something that we've kind of mixed in lately. Last week we went to a half-line pass that Coach Hill used to do. And I got away from it just because the numbers that we have. But, you know, we go half of a offensive line and then half of our receiver group, and then we put the best available guys against them on defense. And, you know, I think that really helped JJ this week. And it's just trying to be creative in those ways of using your two-way guys and going as much good on good as we can. And our year that we were really good a couple of years ago, that's what we did a lot. You know, our practices were live. You know, it was on and cracking. And I think we're at that point right now where we can go good on good and not really as much hold a scout card and say, you're doing this. You know, let's play our stuff and let's play fast, and then Friday night's going to be easier.
Titus Dimmer.
Real guy.
Stud.
Real guy.
So the game that we broadcast, the guy did a little bit of everything. I think the week before, what, he had a fumble recovery or something like that. So he's doing a little bit of everything. What do you like about that kid? What does he bring to the table?
He is a real football player, like old school mentality of toughness with athleticism. And that's so rare nowadays. But I think the kid has a takeaway, the young man, he's not a kid. I think he has a takeaway in every single game other than the game that his finger came out of the skin.
Tell me about that story real quick.
This dude's
I heard about this.
He's full-blown crazy, and he knows it. So first play against Edison Huntington Beach, he runs down on a kickoff. He wants to be on kickoff. We only let him do the first one.
Get it out of his system early.
You know, he likes – so basically he says if he's not on kickoff, I want to be blitzed on the first play so I can just hit somebody fast and get the butterflies.
Yeah.
So he runs down on the first kickoff, and I don't know it at the time, but dislocates his finger. And he looks at me like two plays in, and he goes, Coach, I think I broke my finger. And I go, do you need to come out? And he goes, no, I'm good. So he plays a 16-play drive – and then comes off after the PAT, and he goes, Coach, I think it's coming out of the skin. And I look at his glove, and there's blood all over his glove. And I go, yeah, I think you're going to the ER, dude. And he's like, no, I want to play. And I'm like, no, you're going to the trainer, and I don't think they're going to let you keep playing.
Yeah.
So he dislocated his finger. It came out of the skin.
What do you mean and came out? Like
I'll
the
show
bone?
You the picture when we go.
Okay. Right. Like bone sticking out?
Yes, bone sticking out. You got people making gross faces in here at First String Sports. Bone came out of the skin, and he ended up going to the emergency room. He was fortunate that the bone didn't break. It just dislocated and shifted so that it came out of the skin. But the kid wanted to play. I mean, he fully was ready to just tape it up and play. Ended up getting stitches, put a little soft cast on it, and now he's playing. And like I said, he's had at least one takeaway in every game since. And he's a really physical blocker. He's a run around and tackle guy. He's good in coverage. You know, I'm shocked that he doesn't have offers and offers and offers. And, you know, the bottom line is his size. But I was a linebacker coach for 12 years, Division I level, and I would take him anywhere I was at. Because I know the kind of player he is.
Well, that story goes a long way. I mean, gosh, he wants to hit somebody right away to start the game.
Oh, yeah.
Bone sticking out of his finger. He's playing 16 plays.
Yeah. And ready to keep going.
You moved a lot on defense in the game. Now, obviously, you know, you know a ton about football. Your football family, your late father and Pat Hill are very close. You know, you – first memories are probably, you know, sleeping with a football or football onesies or something
tackling
like that.
Tackling somebody. Yeah, that's the bottom line.
So defensively, help me out, though. It seemed like you're moving a lot of dudes around, a lot of pre-snap stuff. Is that kind of the MO with this team? What are you trying to do with the defense?
You know, this is the team, I think, we're veteran at linebacker. So now we have the ability to move around way more.
Yeah.
You know, it's always been built into my system on defense, our system on defense. But now it's become almost like halftime I'll go in and say, hey, we looked like this multiple times. Now we're going to look like that and do something else. Or we'll look like that and bring it from the same side. And the goal really is to keep people guessing. And I think as much as you can meet people in the backfield, we want to do that. So We're an aggressive team. You know, I practice almost every practice. We're trying to draw our defense off sides or run a screen because I know we're going to be in the backfield so much that that's what teams are going to do to us. So we, you know, our scout is like onto screen,
yeah,
onto screen. that's what's going to hurt us, you know. So I like that you see that, and that's kind of our goal, is as much movement as we can, as much not smoke and mirrors, but just chaos, you know. And I'm not facing an offensive coordinator. I'm facing a 16-year-old quarterback or a 17-year-old quarterback, and that's the way I try to think every game.
We got a couple minutes with your coach. I know you got some soccer to get to.
Oh, yeah, first we're excited. Game. I think she's in here doing
– is she doing laps?
She's warming
already
up.
Warming
yeah,
up, stretching.
Yeah. Dynamic warm-up.
If we see things knocked over, you know she's kicking a soccer ball already.
Yeah, we're probably going to owe for shrink sports a little bit here.
All right, so last thing for you here. All right, so we got the schedule up here. Track starts. You got Turlock away, so there's mm-hmm. another trip for you guys.
Yeah, we like to travel.
Yeah, apparently, right? Mm-hmm. Get up to 99 and go somewhere. So you got East. We're going to be broadcasting that game as well to open up league at La Monica. Buchanan Central on the Thursday, North, and then obviously the big Clovis rivalry. You know, you've been through the track. You've won the track. You know it, right? You track this, track that. Like, when you look at that, like, what pops in your mind? Like, different schemes you got to go against? Like, what when you see that schedule, when you start thinking about what it's going to take to win league, like, what pops?
Yeah, I think that. I think there's really good coaches in the track. I heard my buddy Ross as I was driving over here on your show. You know, guys do a good job, and there's good players. And this is one of the best conferences in California. And I think pound for pound, it's up there with anybody. And you got to have your stuff right. And you got to practice the right way every single week, and you have to improve week to week to win it. You know, the whoever you face first, whoever the champion is going to get better every week. You know, and I'm watching. I'm a film junkie. You know, it's hours and hours and hours on Huddle. But I've watched all these guys, and I've spent, you know, a couple hours on every team already, and you know, every team, as you go week to week, they're improving.
Yeah.
And I think you can say the same for us as well. So by the time we get to week 10, it's going to be, like, completely different than week 6. And the team that wins it all is going to be the team that gets better and better and better.
Good stuff, as always. All right, got to let you go. You got places to go.
No, she's
soccer
she's
to watch. Enjoy these moments.
Yep.
I don't have to tell you that. You know, these are
precious.
These are precious moments for you. So happy for you. Good win last night. We'll see you soon.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks, Paul.
Thanks, EB. All right, we're going to take a break, and we're going to be talking more high school football here on the Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN. I love talking to Eric Brown, the head coach at Clovis West. Great guy. Great guy, family guy. Remember when he got hired, that was a home run hire. Alum of the school, spent a lot of time in the college ranks, got family connections. And, gosh, I remember, I think you had only one kid at that time at the press conference. And now seeing both of his young daughters here at First String Sports going off to their first soccer game, big moment. So he had to skedaddle, big day for him. So, always great to catch up with him. Just one of the good guys in football in the Central Valley. Got Gabe Camarillo on the line a little bit earlier than I thought, but Gabe's always up for a good conversation. You guys know Gabe does a great job at KMPH 26 as their sportscaster. Really ingrained in the high school scene, Fresno State as well. We had a good time here at 1430 ESPN. So Gabe, how's your Saturday, man? Saturday, do you just live for the weekends? Help me out here, right? So now we're in the full Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday deal. Is this like your favorite? Do you live for this stuff?
especially this time of year when I can go from covering high school football and these good teams that are only getting better when we get deeper in the season. I get those Friday nights for high school, then I get Saturday nights for Fresno State, like tonight. And especially a game like tonight where it should be a lot of points on the Bulldog side. And then tomorrow I can watch Josh Allen, Xavier Worthy when he gets healthy, a couple of other local guys. Like, there's a lot to work for this time of year, and I love it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love, you know, I listen to the Fresno State broadcasts and, you know, all the big three sports, and, you know, especially with football and basketball, the press conferences are always fun because I'm like, oh, there's Stephen Hicks from ABC 30 that just asked a question. All right, there's Scott Bemis. There's Jackson Moore. There's Gabe mixing it up, too, with the questions. So that's always fun to listen to you guys ask the coaches those hard-hitting questions. So, yeah, looking forward to tonight. I do want to get into some Fresno State stuff in just a second, but what games did you end up going to last night? So talk to me about those games that you saw.
I went out to Veterans Memorial Stadium. You just talked to Coach Brown about Clovis West. I like how they look. They started a bit slow. I give credit to Edison because Edison, they're up and coming. They have a lot of sophomores and juniors that they're getting playing time. If those kids stay the course, I think Coach Sears has them head on the right path. And then Clovis West just ended up breaking through in the second quarter. J.J. Howard with a couple touchdown passes. I think Major Lee had a couple touchdown runs after I left, but complete win for Clovis West. I saw the start of that, and then I went over to La Monica just after Clovis High went up 14-0. I heard they had a lot of explosive plays early in that game. I was on hand to witness a few. Deegan Rose was accurate. I don't think the ball touched the ground more than once. Maybe twice it touched the ground. That was it when I was there for a whole quarter. That Clovis offense went up 27-7, and then I know Los Gatos And I saw signs of it. That quarterback for Los Gatos is really good. He has an offer from San Jose State. And some of the receivers, too, look college talent level. They were able to come back and almost beat Clovis last night, but that early 27-7 cushion ended up helping the Cougars out. So those are the two games I went to.
That ended up being 41-40. We're keeping track of that one. And yeah, right? I saw the Clovis jumped out to that big lead, and here comes Los Gatos, and I think they ended up taking a lead at one point, if I'm not mistaken. I know, yeah, 34-33 with 6:01 left in the fourth quarter. There was a touchdown, and then what? Clovis comes back with, you know, an interception by Carlos Young, and then a 31-yard TD pass to Carlos Young again, and hold on to that win.
Real quick.
After a 90-yard
TD. Amazing game. Young had, like, three touchdowns last night. I don't know if we're talking about, like, He's their number two receiver outside of Israel Briggs, but he's like a really good number two receiver. And I'm surprised he hasn't he's gotten a few offers from Division I FBS and FCS schools, but he's a college-level talent. I remember talking to Wilkins, and he told me if Carlos Young was the size of Israel Briggs, everyone would be recruiting this kid. But because he's kind of undersized, under the radar, you know, he's not there's like three other Division I commits on that team, but Carlos Young is just as good as any of them. And I think last night was his coming out party. You mentioned his name, and I had to give him some love because he's honestly not getting enough love, Carlos Young.
Yeah, he's been a talented player. We watched him when he was a sophomore at Sanger, then transferred to Clovis High. Yeah, he's a playmaker. He's one of those kids that you know where he is on the field, and boom, he'll bust out with, you know, a pick six. Or I think he's even returning punts, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
At least he did in the Salinas game. But yeah, he's definitely a difference making dude. Do you have any concerns though, Gabe, about that defense? Right. You know, defense wins championships, and you know, any concerns about Clovis High's defense giving up all those points to Los Gatos, and then that loss against Frontier as well?
Well, I was there for two Clovis touchdowns, but also two Los Gatos touchdowns that were pretty easy for them to score. So like I said, I got there when Clovis went up 14-0, and then by the time I go through security and set up my camera, Los Gatos is already from their own 20 to the 10-yard line, and they ended up scoring a touchdown on one of the first plays that I recorded. Then go back later when Clovis goes up 27-7, I'm thinking, okay, as Pat Hill would say, put the dogs in the truck, it's over. Los Gatos scores an 80-yard touchdown on a broken play by the secondary. Los Gatos receiver was wide open, and the only guy who could make a play ended up missing a tackle. So there was an 80-yard touchdown. There was a 90-yard touchdown that put Los Gatos at the 41-40 score, and then they didn't get the two-point conversion, so that's how the game was won. But, yeah, there's some big plays by Los Gatos that makes you wonder when they go up against a Bayon Harris, three touchdown catches last night for Central East, or a Brandon Smith, or I mean, even some of the other playmakers in this section, like Tyree Sams and I'm forgetting on the tight end, Ramsey Ham for Clovis North had a big game last night for the Broncos. Tight end, exactly. These are guys that can give Clovis' defense some problems, and there's a lot more that I'm not mentioning. How about Clovis West, right, when they took for the Range Rider that last week of the season? Clovis West is probably going to give Clovis some fits defensively, and that's something that Coach Wilkins told me at the very start. Like, they have the offense to win a Valley title, but it's going to come down to defense. Because last year, when they lost four of the last six games after starting 6-0, the defense gave up 35 or more points in all of those losses last year. So there's obviously a lot of optimism about Clovis's chances, but I think the optimism ends where the defense ends with the plays that they're giving up. So if the defense can step it up, and I think they can, Clovis can only improve the chances of winning the Valley title.
All right, so the scenario that played out last night, gosh, Clovis East almost came away with a win at Grant. It was, took a touchdown, a short touchdown pass with 10 seconds left for Grant to defeat Clovis East. Has Clovis East been surprisingly better than we anticipated? We know that their defense is legit, their front seven. You know, I'm thinking about, you know, the Clovis Central, Clovis East, and then Clovis West as being real contenders for track. You know, no disrespect to Clovis North. We'll see. You know, Ramon Valley they play and then Frontier. But has Clovis East, you know, maybe even closed the gap between Central, Clovis, and Clovis West?
You know, I think Clovis East was the wild card going into the season, and that's why I really wanted to see them before any games were played. And just watching them, I know that Lindsey Graves is out, and I'm not sure when he's coming back, but he'll be back at running back sometime this year. But besides Lindsey Graves, there's so much talent on this team that people aren't talking about. And a lot of them are new guys like Grant Capriola, superstar in the secondary. Austin Plaza, a force to be reckoned with up the middle. I saw Clovis East against Sanger. Sanger has a strong rushing attack, like one of the best in the section. They put up points on a lot of teams. Hanford, last night against Lemoore, they had a gutty win. Sanger had to work for every rushing yard they got against Clovis East. And there was a lot of pushback from the Clovis East defensive line. Like, Sanger would pick up 4 yards, Clovis East would knock him back three. So the run defense for Clovis East, I think, is why their defense is so good. Because their ability to take away the other team's best offensive weapon for Sanger, that'd be the run. For Grant, I'd argue they have an amazing offense. They scored 42 on Central East a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
But against Clovis East, you're telling me Grant needs a touchdown with 10 seconds to go to win? Like, I think people are underestimating the Clovis East defense because maybe they don't recognize a lot of the names from last year. There's no Jax Kuntz. There's no Harold Duvall. Give a lot of credit to this Clovis East coaching staff. It's a way different coaching staff, right? You got the Sunnyside head coaches from last year as the OC in D.C. You got George Petrosans as the HC, the head coach. Give them credit for developing the JV guys from last year's team to varsity this year and making them better and making this team with a new identity that revolves around who they do have coming back. You got tough kids like Tristan Kircher, O'Shea Webb, Tavion Horton. You got these tough kids coming back who are rangy, athletic. You're going to have a lights out secondary and a stout run defense. And if you got both of those things, like, that's all you need to be a dominant defense. So, yeah, I think that's going to be the MO for this team, because there are going to be some growing pains on offense for Clovis East, especially as long as they don't have Lindsey Graves. They're going to need maybe a little bit one dimensional. Kircher's done a great job. Hats off to him for filling in at running back, and I think he could have a role when Graves does come back. But when you have that home run threat that Graves is, it just adds a level to your offense that they don't really have right now. I wonder if Graves played last night. Do they beat
Graves? Yeah, I think yeah, Gabe, I,
And I think it could be 3-1, right?
Yeah, that hamstring is I think, still bugging Graves. I'm not sure how much he's going to see the field at all this year, to be honest. That's what I'm hearing. So that would be a big loss for Clovis East, because that kid's he's a college style running back. So Clovis East, though, Gabe, that week one in the track, talked to Eric Brown a little bit about that game, right? Week one, Clovis West, then they play Centrals, and then they play Clovis. So you could argue that the toughest three games that they're going to have in the track, again, no disrespect to Buchanan and Clovis North, but, you know, that's a big three gauntlet to get through for Clovis East to begin track.
And they could still beat those teams without Graves. I'm not saying they can't, but it's like a what if, you know, what if they had a team at full strength. The fact is, their 3-1 could very well be 4-0 without their best player on offense. And that says a lot about the depth on this team.
I agree. Okay, Gabe, a couple minutes here with you. I do want to get to Fresno State at the end. But what are some of, like, biggest surprises, maybe a story that you found out through the first 4 weeks of high school football? I know you've been out and about gathering stories and hitting on the good stuff that's going on. But what's something that pops into your mind, a storyline that maybe people aren't thinking about right now?
Well, there's obviously the track and, like, everything that's going on in our Fresno-Clovis region, but I think something that I really want to dive into is how good Tulare County is at football.
Yeah.
Redwood, for instance, loses a big transfer to start the season, and they're honestly as competitive as they probably would have been with him on the team. Like, they have multiple quarterbacks who can make plays. Luke Sanchez comes in last night and leads them to victory over Tulare Western, where Jordan Areola had almost beat Clovis North a few weeks ago. So, like, Redwood has depth at quarterback, at defense. Like, Redwood's a strong outfit, and I'm not forgetting about Golden West, who came back last night to beat North Bakersfield. And then CBC, I know they're 0-3, or 0-4. I think 0-3. I don't know. But I know they're winless. But they played against Clovis North, Clovis, and Bakersfield Christian. So, like, they're going to be really good for league play. They're going to be as battle-tested as anyone. Tulare being unbeaten right now, and they had a bye week, but they go to Ridgeview next week. They have, obviously, one of the more exciting quarterbacks. But that Tulare Western, before last night's loss, they were undefeated, and they had just beaten a Mission Oak team that was honestly on the up and up. Like, there's just so much talent in Tulare County that I think gets a little bit overlooked because we're so focused on, you know, the track and the CMAC, and I just think that's one of the storylines that I'm following. Is I have the feeling we're going to have multiple section champions from Tulare County in D1A and D2. I'm not saying who, but I just have a feeling we see multiple teams end up with Valley Rings from that talent-rich part of our Central Valley.
And a lot of talk about Tulare High School. This is a year that a lot of people have been pointing to from, you know, a couple years ago when Jordan Crisp and those talented wide receivers came into everyone's, you know, attention. But I think I misspoke. I was talking about the Bakersfield Christian game with Tulare. That's going to be at home. That's going to be on September 26th. I think I said that game is October. So it's September 26th. That's going to tell us a lot. First of all, how good Tulare is, and then how good Bakersfield Christian is, who maybe could very well be the best team down there in Bakersfield. All right, Gabe, Fresno State tonight. No spread on the game, because I think that says how good, how much of a mismatch on the field it might be. The bands are going to be lit. That's going to be awesome. That's going to be must watch for everybody there at Valley Children's. What would you like to see from Fresno State tonight, especially on the offensive end?
A passing touchdown. Is that
the there? You go.
I want to see something that used to be routine for Fresno State fans, but it's been a different type of football team. And I think people are starting to realize that. We talked about it in August. We said, hey, this team, they're talking about physicality. They're talking about running the football more than passing it. And I think people heard that, but they really understood it when they watched it. And there's no better example than this past game where after EJ throws that interception, I think it was 66% run, 33% pass, and the passes weren't going further than 7 yards downfield. So there was obviously a change in philosophy over the offseason. Passing touchdowns don't equate success. They're 2-1 without a passing touchdown, so just imagine when they start throwing them into the end zone. and catching them. So I like to see that, but I don't think the world is ending. I don't think EJ Warner has done a terrible job. He's been a game manager. He's doing what they asked him to do, which is put the team in good spots on third down and don't turn the football over is also one of his jobs. And he hasn't done that. He's done 5 interceptions, but if he cuts those down and just does what he's been doing besides the turnovers, I don't think Fresno State's in a bad spot at quarterback. They could work on some defense this week. I'd like to see the defense maybe not pitch a shutout, but keep them under 10 points. I don't know if that's too much to ask, but that's probably the two things I'm looking for, passing touchdown and defense allowing under 10 points.
Yeah, I agree. As you know, a fan, someone that has season tickets, I anticipate if there is a touchdown thrown by EJ Warner that the stadium's going to go a little crazy. You're like, oh, there it is. Was it that difficult? Come on, let's go. Finally, I think
what
that's going to be the sentiment.
Not one thrown. What if we go a fourth week and we win like 41-0, but they don't throw for a touchdown? What if that happens?
Oh my gosh, more questions. I think right. Some of that Monday press conference might be a little more exciting than
If EJ runs for 3 touchdowns but doesn't throw one, does that count a lot not throwing one?
I think that'd be fine. I think that'd be okay. As long as he doesn't throw a couple picks, right? We don't want to see that 0-7 ratio.
Just so everyone knows, Southern is not good. Like, Southern is not good at all. They're 1-2, lost to a couple of SCS teams in their league, the SWAC. So I think it's cool they're the first HBCU to play Fresno State. I'm surprised there hasn't been one before, but I think that the novelty of this matchup is first HBCU, really cool marching band, but don't come expecting it to be a close game. And if it is a close game, then there are even more questions to ask, but I don't think it will be. I think they have Matt Ince has the full attention of the team, and they'll probably come out hot early and have the game won by halftime. That's my guess.
All right. Good stuff, Gabe, as always. Thanks for jumping on, man. Maybe I'll see you tonight. Maybe I'll give you a good old-fashioned wave from the stands. But good stuff, as always. Talk to you later, my friend.
Thank you, Paul.
All right, we'll take a break. We're going to bring on Trevor Horn again, a little bonus time with Trevor. He was at a couple games this weekend down in the Bakersfield area. Always good to see his perspective. We'll take a break and bring on Trevor on the Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN. Starting a new segment on the show. Saturday mornings with Trev. Trev, coming on the show in a pinch, let's talk a little bit about the area down there in the Bakersfield, Kern County area. Man, I know you got your little guy there, you know, dressing up like dad, taking pictures like dad, pretending. But, man, you're an absolute gamer for coming on the show.
Hey, man. Happy to help out. I like to do good things for great people, and you're great people.
All right, so what's storylines from down in the Bakersfield area this week in football? I know you were at Shafter last night. Great moments, man.
Yeah.
Great videos that you're able to put out there. What are some other storylines from this weekend down there in that area?
You know, Liberty being 0-4 after losing to Buchanan was kind of a shocker for everybody down here. You know, the great win for Buchanan. You know, they're 4-0 on paper now, the Bears are, after having to Bakersfield High having to forfeit that opening week win over the Bears. So Liberty, I mean, that's a team that, I mean, you look what they've got coming up. They've got Central East next week at home. That's going to be really tough against the Bengals. And then they've got an undefeated Independence team after that. It'll be interesting to see what Independence and Kennedy do next week. You got 285 career wins between Mario Mion at Kennedy, who just got his 100th win, and Paul Golo over at Independence, who has 185 wins. That's interesting. And then after that, October 10th is Liberty versus Frontier.
Yeah.
So it's really, really, really interesting to look at it. You know, everybody's like, well, what's wrong with Liberty? And I'm like, well, guys, look at who they're playing. Frontier and Liberty right now have by far the toughest strength of schedules of anybody in the central section. If you go to highschoolratings.com, you can see it. Frontier is at a 29 overall. Liberty is at a 28. The next one closest to them is actually Central at 20.6. And those are only going to go up higher for Frontier and Liberty this week when you've got Frontier going down to playing Lincoln out of San Diego that just took a 10-point loss, 34-24, to Mission Viejo, who's ranked number 2 in the state. And then Liberty's got Central next week. So I don't know how many teams would have a better record against the competition that Liberty and Frontier have been playing thus far. So you look at those two teams here in town. Those are the top two teams on paper going into the season. They're now, you know, combined one win between the two of them after Frontier was able to get that big win over Clovis last week. Frontier is on a bye going down to San Diego next week. Another one, Paul Golas got a 4-0 team at Independence. You know, he won five section titles when he was the head coach at BHS, won that state title over Del Oro at Loomis in 2013. And he's got the ball rolling again. His kid's the quarterback, only played like a quarter and a half last night and threw for 157 yards and ran for another 40 and two total touchdowns in that one. So I think the storyline right now is, can these 4-0 teams in town, like Shafter, like Wasco, like Independence, could they? What would they look like with Liberty's schedule? And I talked to Gerald Perucci today. He goes, "No, Liberty would score almost every play on us, and you saw it last night. You know, it's a different level, and it's no disrespect sure. to any one team or the other. It's just the God honest truth." Is there is a different level of football being played with the schedule that Liberty has in front of them than what Shafter, Independence, or, you know, Wasco, or even BCHS. I think BHS is the only one that could rival their schedule because they have that Buchanan game, and then they had that big win over Bullard last night on the road at McLean.
Well, okay, so let me ask you this really quick. Yeah, I mean, I want to interject a bit because do you see three wins, though, for Liberty this season? You mentioned Central, Independence, Frontier. You see the three. Obviously, Stockdale, Centennial's down this year. Garces, I don't know now.
Yeah. But look at the strength of schedule for Garces. They're 2-1 right now, but they've beaten an average Pass Robles team and then a Division V base team in Bishop. And it's kind of a wait and see. What's going to happen tonight in the Holy Bowl? That's a big question when they host San Joaquin Memorial. And I think we're going to get a lot of answers there. Garces is 2-1, yeah, but again, it's the strength of schedule. Like, what would Independence look like with Liberty's schedule? What would Liberty look like with Independence's schedule? It's no knock on one team or the other. It's just the reality faced in front of you. Is I don't ever look at a team, and I don't punish teams for playing up. I mean, Liberty could go 3-7, 4-6 this year, and likely go into D1A, which is the second tier of the two Division I brackets. 1AA is obviously the top one. They can go in that 1A and do what Frontier and BHS did and make it to the finals last year. And when I say BHS, sorry for you Fresno folks, that's what we say down here for Bakersfield High. So
right.
Bakersfield High, not Bullard, not Buchanan, not Bishop Union or anything like that. But yeah, Bakersfield High, you know, they hosted Frontier and Frontier beat them. And it was, you know, the semifinals last year, 1A was three of the four teams were from Bakersfield. And with BHS, Bakersfield High, sorry, Frontier and Centennial.
All right, so you mentioned Shafter. You talked to Coach Perucci.
Yeah.
They are a major player in D4. D4's got some pretty good teams this year.
Well,
but
you might see
Shafter,
them in D3
like,
this year if they get pushed up.
They might. Okay, so would you say Shafter could be a top 15 team in the all of Central Section? How good are they?
They're really good. They had a little problem last night, in the first half against Dos Palos' run game up front. They fixed it. They did a goal line stance right before the half ended. Dos Palos didn't have any timeouts left. They stuffed them on the 1 yard line. They didn't. You know, it was 14-13 at one point, and then Shafter ended up winning 49-13. Ezekiel Osborne went in with 96 touchdown passes in his career. He threw for 5 last night, so he's the first Kern County. He already went into the season the Kern County record holder in career touchdown passes. Now he's the first one to ever have triple digits. He's got 101 now, which means he's tied with Noah Tossey, who graduated from Coalinga, who happened to beat Shafter in the finals in Division IV last year, finished with 101. So Ezekiel Osborne now tied with Tossey, fifth overall in Central Section history with 101. How about this? Marion Sloan finally played running back last night for the first time this year after resting his hamstring injury that he suffered over the summer. His future running backs coach at Boise State, James Montgomery, was in the house. Sloan went for 201 yards rushing, 2 touchdowns. But what was cool was the fourth touchdown, which was the 100th touchdown for Osborne last night. It was a 12-yard, beautiful touch pass to Sloan in the back of the end zone. How about this? The first touchdown pass that Osborne ever threw as a freshman was to Marion Sloan, who happens to be his best friend, and then his 100th TD pass was also to Marion Sloan. It's beautiful. That's what makes sports such a beautiful thing. And then Osborne took the ball, ran to the sideline, went to the stands, and handed it to his severely disabled, wheelchair-bound uncle. And I just thought it was such a cool moment last night for all of that being, you know, all-encompassing in one game here in the middle of September. Really cool moment.
Good stuff. We got another minute here with you, Trev. Make a case that Bakersfield Christian is going to be a major player in D1. And are they the best team in Bakersfield?
It's a toss-up between BHS and BCHS right now with the way that both of those teams are playing. And then if Independence is able to win the next two games over Kennedy and Liberty, you got a three-headed monster right now. And then depending on what Frontier does, you know, there is an argument to be made for Bakersfield Christian right now. Lincoln Adame is throwing the ball all around. They're able to run the ball with Talon Mather. They got a good front on the offensive and defensive side of the ball. Arnez Lee's got 10 sacks in three games. And then Michael Smith is a man on a mission. He had two pick sixes over CBC last week, and he's got 5 receiving touchdowns. Andre Calderon, who had over 1,000 yards receiving for BCHS last year, is being double teamed, and Michael Smith is reaping the benefits of it. Just getting, you know, he's had 200 yard passing games thus far already, 5 total touchdowns in receiving game, plus he's returned 3 interceptions for touchdowns already in 3 games. So yeah, the Eagles are right there with a big Sill High, Independence, Frontier, even Liberty, Shafter. Wasco's 4-0 right now, and they're throwing the ball. I think hell's frozen over that they're throwing the ball now. So it's really cool to see. There's a lot of parity in Kern County right now. And as a journalist, as a guy that covers the sport, I love it because there's more talking points.
Absolutely. You know, Trevor,
we got it really interesting in October and November.
I can't wait. And you did this all in 8.5 minutes, man. Do you believe in miracles? Yes, you did it. We gotta go. Thanks for jumping on, my friend. Unbelievable's right. All right, thanks for jumping on. Love you too, man. All right, thanks to First String Sports, Clovis Stone, Tenveer for producing the show. Great job by him, Ross Wood, Eric Brown, Gabe Camarillo, and of course Trevor Hone. Have a great rest of the weekend, everybody, and we'll talk to you soon.